Coming up.
And for whatever reason, and I'll tell you what his reason was, for whatever reason, the foreskin comes back and it doesn't go back over the head of the penis again. Mm-hmm. And then it gets stuck there and it strangulates, basically choking. Mm-hmm. What do we call it? Choking the... when you
dead grip.
Death grip.
It's basically, death grip.
Yeah. So the danger with that is actually an emergency, because the danger with that is that if it squeezes on the penis enough, it can actually cause what we call ischemia or death to the head of the penis. Head, yeah. In extreme cases, the head can actually fall off, you know, when people... And hello to my debut as the host of the Let's Talk Man podcast. Six medical doctors at the Gents Clinic on the Let's Talk Man podcast. And we're back for another episode tonight with another esteemed guest. And I'm sure when you see him, you'll know what he's known for or why he's famous in South Africa. You are famous in South Africa, right? So, somewhat. Yeah. We have Elon Mokgale, known as Popompo. Popompo on TikTok. Yeah, Elon Mokgale is with us here this evening. We're going to be discussing all things weight loss, weight gain, and all the issues, you know, to do with that, involved with that, and affecting, you know, weight loss and weight gain. So welcome, Elon. Welcome to the Let's Talk Man podcast.
Thank you for having me. We feel like we usually give like a round of applause for all our guests.
Yeah, no, let's do that.
Sure. Thank you for joining us.
Which name do people prefer, Elon or Popompo?
Now it's Popompo.
Popompo. Yeah. Okay.
Does Popompo mean anything, or is it just a...
No, it's just a nickname, really.
Just a nickname.
When I was younger, yeah, I didn't like it when I got it initially. But yeah, I kind of grew into it.
Okay.
Yeah, my cousin gave it to me. Mm. Yeah, so it's... Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of helped me in a way, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it has helped me in terms of my growth on social media and everything. Yeah. That courage to actually want to use the name.
Mm. But what does it mean? Where does it come from?
I don't know where it comes from. I just know it means a third person.
That's serious?
Yeah.
Oh. In what language?
I don't know.
But you can feel it in the name.
Okay.
I mean, if you're saying your cousin gave it to you when you were younger, I think the next question we should ask then, who is Elon Mokgale? Tell us maybe a bit about you, where you're from, where you grew up, and so forth.
So, I'm 32 years old. Okay. Grew up in Phalaborwa, Limpopo. So, yeah. I'm a communications graduate. I'm a reality show star, if I can say.
Yeah, we saw that quite recently,
So, yeah. I'm just me, man. I'm just there. And what else? What else is there to say? Oh, I'm a singer. I'm dabbling in singing right now.
Oh, singing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I can actually sing. I'm very good at singing.
You must, before you go, you must do something for us. So is it like rap music?
No.
R&B?
Le Combo.
Le Combo. Another combo.
It's a Limpopo genre. So yeah.
Is it?
Music from Limpopo. Sure.
No, so, please, if we forget, can you do something?
At the end. So, Elon, the way, before we get into, you know, what the topic of the podcast, the way we usually open up our podcast is one of us will give us a story, a medical story, that's important for discussion or interesting. And I thought I would share actually what I saw yesterday. It wasn't the first time I saw a patient like this, but I saw a young man, 19 years old, who came into the center with what we call paraphimosis.
Mm.
Right? Nassim, you know, can you explain what's paraphimosis?
Yeah, we see it a lot because usually like at the clinics, there's like not a lot of men doctors. So I'm one of the few men, and they send all the paraphimosis to me.
Yeah.
It's when the foreskin is like tight, right? And when that foreskin gets pulled back, that when the tight foreskin now starts to strangulate the head of the penis,
mm.
that's when you start to get, we call it paraphimosis, where it's like swollen, and then the foreskin can't roll back.
Yes. Mm. So it happens in men who are uncircumcised.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, and I'll tell you what his reason was, for whatever reason, the foreskin comes back, and it doesn't go back over the head of the penis again. Mm-hmm. And then it gets stuck there, and it strangulates, basically choking. Mm-hmm. What do we call it? Choking the... when you
dead grip.
Death grip.
It's basically, death grip.
Yeah. So the danger with that is actually an emergency, because the danger with that is that if it squeezes on the penis enough, it can actually cause what we call ischemia or death to the head of the penis. Head, in extreme cases, the head can actually fall off, you know, when people...
It's not attended. Yeah.
So this guy is 19 and he actually came with his mom, right? Mm-hmm. So he's, when I asked now to see, okay, what's happening, he just pulled it down in front of his mom, which was weird, but she's like, I've got four sons. I mean, I know this thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the mom.
Yeah. This is the mom. She's like, he's there. He has no choice. He has to take it down. And his head was swollen. Okay, not the head, but the penis.
The glands of the penis,
swollen. And I'm not exaggerating. We'll probably put a picture for you.
Is it a picture?
No, I didn't. I don't know. I didn't. Take it. You know, sometimes when you see these things, you're like, okay, I've seen this paraphimosis, and then you forget to ask them if you can take a picture. But I was now fascinated of why, what happened, man. So he's like, no, I woke up in the morning like this. So I was like, hey, this doesn't make sense. Why did you wake up in the morning like this? And the mom is like, doc, he's probably having unprotected sex. It's STI. What's this thing? He's upset with his mom. But actually, when I thought about it, while I was treating it, when I thought about it, I was like, woke up like this. I said, Chief, last night were you scomoring?
Did you
play dice last night. He says, dogotela. Because that's the only thing that made sense to me.
Yeah.
He looks at his mom, looks at me, says, I was playing with the dice. Because that's what
he probably the whole night. It was probably like that the whole night.
He probably fell asleep with the foreskin back and didn't know.
Yeah,
because, you know, most guys say that you just play with the dice and pass out. Elon's nodding his head.
He's like, I know that. I've done that.
We all have. Come on.
So that's what, and then he admitted. And then I was like, I actually read up, and nowhere is it described in the literature that post-masturbation can you get paraphimosis.
Hmm.
It's only like, they do say sexual activity.
Yeah.
It's been
and
described.
Trauma.
Trauma,
I guess
yeah.
it would be a type of trauma, depending on,
yes.
I mean, if you're going to sleep with yourself four times in one night.
Oh, yes.
You know,
it's trauma.
You're now traumatizing the foreskin. So we do say trauma, but you know, we know what kind of trauma there is.
No, but it's very painful. It's very
imagine,
painful.
Imagine, man. The glands that swollen.
Yes.
Well, moving on to another more interesting and more academic topic that I wanted to share, obviously because of we have you, and I just thought it was something that I actually presented on our journal meetings in my department a couple of weeks ago. I know we're boring you now with all these academic chats, but it's going to be quick.
Yeah.
So basically, this paper is very interesting in a sense that it's like one of those groundbreaking things. We know the whole buzz about Ozempic and, you know, the weight loss drug. And basically, this new paper, which was published early last year, was looking at incretins, which are these gut-derived hormones, these peptides, right?
Uh-huh.
And looking at the effects in the kidneys, in the eyes, because, I mean, they're coming out and, you know, a lot of people are studying them, and especially the risks, to say, okay, we know the benefits,
uh-huh.
people lose weight, but what are the dangers of using, you know, high doses of these drugs?
Yeah.
And the one study that came out that shocked people, especially in my field, which is ophthalmology, is the fact that it can actually cause non-arteritic optic nerve ischemia. So it can actually cause death of the optic nerve. So that's the important nerve that connects the brain to the eyes.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of studies that actually said, you know, you can get you can become blind from this. But the reason why I chose to present it is because I then decided to look at a meta-analysis, so a more, it's called a better powered study that looked at different studies that looked at these hormones and basically was trying to see, you know, how is it even possible? And basically this study was saying, yeah, it should be, you know, especially at this initial stage, we should use it with caution and caution patients who are considering taking this drug, that it does have a potential of, you know, causing blindness.
Yeah.
And what I found interesting, even though there was a lot of problems, because the studies that they were actually looking at were not studying whether the drug causes blindness. It wasn't like a direct. So they basically looked at like a cardiovascular study, like cardiovascular outcomes of someone who was using the drug.
And then a couple of those patients,
you know, who could have been diabetic, who had diabetic retinopathy, or who could have been, you know, hypertensive and had hypertensive retinopathy. Mm. They don't discuss those elements. In the inclusion criteria, we actually took quite advanced diabetic retinopathy patients. They're just saying that some of them were blind at the end of this. So we're not sure, was it the drug or was it, you know,
It probably wasn't the drug.
It's highly unlikely. Yeah.
People like to demonize Ozempic.
Mm.
But before we get there, Elon, maybe, I don't know if you had a comment on paraphimosis, but how, going forward, how is your, let's start maybe with the weight gain. Were you born a big boy? How did it end up that you, because you're bigger than most, let's be honest.
Yeah.
How did it, you know, how was your journey to this point of your life at 32?
So I've always really been a big kid. Mm. I think from the time I was born, I think I was all above average.
Okay.
Yeah, and then also growing up, when I was doing grade R, I was younger than all the kids in class, but then I was the biggest.
Mm.
So I was the Goliath of the school play. Mm. So which shows just how big I was.
Yeah.
In grade 7, I was 150 kgs by grade 7.
Sure.
Yeah. So
it's big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much do you weigh now?
3 weeks ago I was 342 kilograms. Yes. Yeah. Now 334. Yes.
Double that weight. Okay. And what's your height?
My height. I think my height is
The BMI is you can't calculate.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I'm just. He's not a short guy as well. Eh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think somewhere around 178, 179.
Is it?
Yeah.
I was actually expecting one like 1.8,
like 1.9 or something.
Mm. Yeah. Just above 1.8.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah. Okay.
So do you, my question was going to be, you gaining weight throughout these years, right? And it's something probably that we don't ask people or clients or patients enough.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think made you gain weight up to this 300 and odd kgs? Today,
I don't know, because the thing is, I've never been someone who eats a lot. I do eat, but I eat as much as everyone else.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. So the thing that I think contributed to my weight gain is lack of movement, lack of mobility. I'd eat and then I'd be at home. I just sit at home, do nothing. I think that's what really contributed, rather than eating a lot.
Yeah.
You see, because I think that's the biggest contributor.
Wouldn't you say, Ness, that there's many people who eat and don't do anything after, but they don't get to Elon's size? So what do you think about?
So we're having like a debate or like an argument to say how much is it lifestyle versus genetic. So usually people who are overweight in their family would also be overweight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the whole thing of everyone's making each other overweight, the diet, everything like this.
Yeah.
So it's more a lot of big thing is weight loss. There's also some medical conditions that can cause weight loss, right?
Yeah.
Weight gain, like hypothyroidism or gigantism, whatever it is, those kind of things.
Cushing's
syndrome, like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there could be something medically.
Yeah.
Have you ever checked anything medical?
Have you been seen by doctors? Seen? Yeah.
Yeah, I have been seen by doctors, but I'd always go for tests, and then some would come back inconclusive, and I'd not go back again.
Okay.
You know, so that's a journey that I'm on right now.
Yeah,
trying to actually find out what causes, what's causing this in terms of genetics, in terms of your hyperthyroidism, whatever. And maybe even other causes. So we're just checking the whole blood work to see what might the cause be.
Yeah, the reason I'm asking this is twofold. It's number one, that if you want to get the answer of weight loss and what's the best, you must understand what caused you to gain the weight, right? Mm-hmm. That's why I asked you first, what do you think?
Because
the second reason is that, follows on from that, is that society at large believes that it's equal to what you put in and what you put out.
Yeah.
So basically, the amount you put in and how much you burn on the soccer field or the running track or on the treadmill, which over the past recent years has been shown, medically speaking, that that's not everyone at all, you know.
And I think you're a perfect example of that. Because, I mean, like you're saying, in terms of diet-wise, you've never been the type of person, well, how you're seeing it, obviously, is that you eat like everyone else. You know? You don't feel like you have, you know, fetishes of things that you feel other people are not eating.
Yeah.
You eat, yes, you might be more sedentary and sit, but I mean, to be 150 kilograms in grade 7, you know,
And
just another question from me. Sorry. So when you were young and when you were that size, obviously, I'm sure you were asking your family, your parents, or because I'm sure there was a lot of bullying. I don't know. Is there a family history of you know,
your parents, siblings,
anyone at home?
So, my mom is above average, right? So she could be medically classified as obese. She is. Mm-hmm. My dad also was, and also he had diabetes, high blood pressure, and other illnesses like heart disease as well. My sister is excessively overweight as well. And others, they're not thin either.
They are
obese, but you know,
maybe not
just
your size.
Look past it. But they are medically, you have to say, obese.
We
are sort of a big family.
Okay. And just a bit of, obviously, we're more interested in your medical sort of, you know, history. Your first encounter, I heard you saying you've, you know, been to the doctors, they've checked, and there's really nothing. Why did you even have to go there? Was it just because you have gained weight, or were there other problems?
I was in a coma when I was 14. So I think it's, what do you call it? When the sugar levels drop.
It was low.
Hypoglycemia. So it was low,
Okay.
So, and I was in a coma for, I think, some hours.
Yeah.
And then woke up, I think, with drips and whatever in me. And I stayed in hospital for 7 days.
Okay.
So that was my first encounter and how I found out that I might be diabetic.
Okay.
But even to this day, we haven't really done any blood tests to actually check, you know.
Was your sugar low or high?
It was low. And even now, it's constantly low. Like if I eat, for the past, I think, 8 months, I've been eating salads and meat. But I haven't really lost weight.
That's an important sign, eh? That's an important sign. When you're doing everything right, but you still don't lose weight, there's something else to look out for.
But what would explain the fact that he was getting these hypoglycemic attacks?
That could be multi, you know.
That would be adrenal.
Can be adrenal.
If you have like adrenal insufficiency, you get hypoglycemia.
I constantly get low blood sugar. Like if I eat, like now, right? And then after 5 hours and I don't eat, I start having headaches, severe headaches. My vision gets a bit blurry. I start feeling my heart pumping excessively. And so, and I know that after that, if I stay without eating for a couple of hours more, I'm going to start shaking. And then it's going to be a problem. So, it's a constant thing. After 5 hours, I know that I have to eat. If I don't, then I'm going to have a problem.
The thing is, you can also find like that in normal diabetic people, just like normal. Like the sugar after a big meal spikes, right? But in normal people, it would come down and go back to a normal level. Mm-hmm. But in people who are like insulin resistant, it'll actually dip lower and then it'll go back to normal.
Yeah. So you see, I mean, and it can speak to multiple things. That's definitely one. And I'm thinking also of the liver, you know, the liver functioning. Because if I don't eat for the whole day, 12 hours, I don't eat, my liver sustains my sugar levels. Right? Mm-hmm. You have a lot of stores, you know. Gaining adipose or fat, we call it adipose medically. Gaining fat is sort of like to keep stores, you know. So your body's not using the stores.
Yeah.
So that makes me wonder, you know what's going on here?
Yeah.
It's not, you know, when people look at you and judge or, you know, have their own, you know, sort of perspective as to what they think is causing this. Mm. They're probably completely wrong. I would say they're 100% wrong.
And also, to add to what you said, if I eat more than I should, recently I've noticed this, my blood sugar goes, I think not necessarily my blood sugar, but my energy levels, they actually go, they go low, right? I feel too full, I can't, even walking becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also, after that meal, maybe in a couple of hours or 3 hours after, I'd feel another dip in energy.
Yeah.
Right? So it goes down again.
I
I'd have energy, but I wouldn't be able to use that energy with regards to walking and whatever. But when it goes down, I feel it again. So I just don't understand as to what's up. And also, you spoke about the liver and the lungs.
Yeah.
And with me, when I'm hungry, I start coughing. Like I have excessive coughs.
Okay.
Like when I feel like my blood sugar is low, I start coughing. And it's one of the signs that, okay, you need to eat now.
Okay.
Which I also don't understand. So there are a lot of things that are going on with me.
Yeah,
which I really don't get. Sure.
And you know, I keep on just getting these bells in my head to say that, and we've had this discussion before, Ness, to say that it's so he's of the big belief that obviously your lifestyle contributes a lot to this, which is true. Your lifestyle does.
Yeah.
But my argument was that, you know, there are some people who are really lifestyle is 20%, 80% is hormonal.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just like an endocrine problem. Like you say, for example, like Dr.
Metabolic
Matthews was saying
problem,
that
mm-hmm.
naturally when you're hungry and let's say you're busy, your body has stores.
Yeah.
You know? There's certain hormones that get released, you know, that go to your liver, wherever, and break down the glycogen and you get energy.
Yeah.
But your body, you start coughing, you know, and you're getting these hypoglycemic dips, which could actually explain why, because as he dips again and his energy drops, you probably want to eat more, you know, because you want to now kick up thingy. Whereas your body should have been naturally doing those things, you know. You should be releasing the GLP-1s, you should be feeling a bit full.
Yes.
Your body should be sending the correct hormones to your liver, wherever they need to go, to try and break down as much of the energy stores that you have. So it's very, very interesting to know that, you know, it's there's actually a lot, and maybe we should get him, you know, involved with an endocrinologist just to help you know, get to the bottom of it. Because I can guarantee you majority of your problems are not the diet.
Yeah.
It's really yes, there is an element of it. Mm-hmm. Obviously you can't just focus on one. But I just want to just move back and talk a bit more about, you know, the challenges you face. As a guy your size, 300, you said above 300 kilograms.
Yeah,
right?
It's 334
now. What would you say, challenges of basic living, you know, things that we take for granted.
Your day-to-day challenges.
Your day-to-day challenges. What are they, you know? Just for the simple person.
A lot of things.
Mm.
A lot of things. Getting up, that's number one.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, it's a lot of work. Just to actually get up.
Mm.
It's a lot of work. Taking a bath, it's a lot of work.
Where do you start?
Or a shower, you know. It's a lot of work.
Mm.
Yeah, I can't fit in a bath. I have to use a shower. So Sometimes the showers are too small, shower doors are too small. That's a problem. Mm. Yeah. Getting in a car, it's...
Yeah, I think I've seen one of your TikTok videos. Hopefully, Sister Bets will,
it's the
will put it
one,
up.
Yeah.
Mm,
I saw one on TikTok where you're showing people your challenges.
Yeah. Walking again, that's... Yeah, it's challenging.
Even walking,
Yeah, even walking. It's...
You know when I first heard about you, there's this thing out there that people are out for fame and so forth, right? Uh-huh. And there are people who use their size as sort of how they sell themselves. Uh-huh. And I initially thought that, you know, as... But when I saw that video of you getting to the car, I could see that you want help. You are not doing this for show.
Sure.
You know? You're trying to show people your struggles.
Yeah.
So I just want to confirm, and everyone out there, that you do want to lose weight.
Absolutely. Definitely.
You want to.
Yeah.
You don't want to continue living
hell no.
the life that you live.
Yeah.
And that's an important, probably, take-off point, you know, taking-off point. Because also we don't want to charge, you know.
And we're
talking here now about how to lose weight, yet you want to, you know.
Yeah, don't get
So, have there been any? We saw you on Moja Love on the weight loss show. What was that called?
Heavyweight.
Yes. Yeah. What are the other modalities or interventions, if any at all, that you've tried so far to lose weight? And I'll preface that by saying that how motivated are you? Because that's the first step. If you're not motivated, because the journey is tough.
Yeah.
How motivated are you? And what have you tried so far?
Thus far, I've tried really everything. Your medication, your pills, not necessarily the new ones, no. Like Ozempic, no. But the old ones, you know, the advertised fat-burning pills, I've done them.
Are these prescription medications?
No. Okay, no, once, yes. Once, I did use prescription medication once. Over a stretch of 6 months, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, but didn't work.
Okay.
So meds, I've tried exercising, eating healthy. There aren't really that many changes.
Mm.
But one thing I've realized is I've reached sort of like...
Plateau.
A plateau, yeah. So especially if I eat the way I am right now, I don't gain. And I lose just a little bit, you know. So I'm just somewhat there, you know. So I'd rather have that than eat what I know I shouldn't and gain. So right now I've been having, as I said, salads and meat, and that has really helped me. I don't get too full when I have that.
Mm.
My energy levels remain somewhat constant.
Yeah.
So I've noticed that, and I actually enjoy that because I know I can do whatever I want when I'm that. At that level, I can walk. I can, just do anything.
Yeah. Any suggestions you have, Ness, of what? Obviously, hasn't used any prescribed medications. Mm. It's just been from China and.
Yeah. So, but have you seen any of these like fancy diets, paleo, banting, those things? Have you seen any of that?
Yes, banting. I tried banting.
Yeah.
I think even now I'm doing banting. You know,
It is.
Yeah. So, but my first interaction with bunting was not good. I tried it because it put me in hospital, I think, twice.
Mm. Okay.
And that's when I realized that they realized that I have heart failure.
Mm.
Like, my heart was enlarged.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was told that I have heart failure. So, I didn't enjoy the first try of bunting. But now, with the change in diet, because then I think I was having beans, and I wasn't really having meat.
Yeah.
I'd have eggs and whatever, and that wouldn't fill me at all.
Yeah.
So now I've changed. I'm having salads and green salad and meat, and that fills me up. So it's better than before.
What about carbs? Mm. What carbs are you having?
I don't think I'm having carbs
at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Because from what I was hearing, it's like a roller coaster of sugar. Like you go high, and then after a meal, it would dump low, and then just like going all over. So maybe I should have like a more regular meals, but healthier stuff.
Yeah, that happens when I have That happens when I have carbs, I think.
Yeah.
Because last time, okay, I only have carbs when I'm out. Let's say maybe I have a shoot somewhere.
Yeah.
And I forgot to get to pack some food. Then I'd probably go and buy a sandwich. That's a bit of carbs. And then, yeah. And then that's when I'd have those yeah, roller coaster of, yeah, sugar levels, yeah.
And you even see it, like, if you actually try to look at food as a whole, everything is unhealthy. A lot of carbs, a lot of like calories in things that you think are normal food. And like those things that he's mentioning, salad, meat, like protein and vegetables, is like healthy stuff. And I'm happy that you're doing that already. Yeah.
You know, when you look at the modalities available currently for weight loss, and there's a lot of new ones, weight loss in terms of medication is relatively new. The first tablets, I think it's called Orlistat, the ones that makes you cuck out the fat. You just fat out. Those only came out around the 70s or 80s, you know. And then they found others, you know, there's epileptic drugs, which they saw that a side effect is weight loss. When you look at all these medications, you realize, and this is what I want people to also understand who are trying to lose weight, is that it's not something that's going to happen quickly, right? And they have their limitations, okay? If you look at certain medications, they range between 2-5% per year of weight loss. And currently what we know about Ozempic and Wegovy is that after about 70 weeks, which is about a year and a half, you can lose up to 20-30% of your weight, which for you will be about 60 kgs, right? Yeah. You need way more weight loss than 60 kgs for you to be happy, right?
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Yeah.
And to use those medications is upwards of 5,000 rand a month at those doses. For a year and a half, for you only to lose 60-70 kgs, right? What's proven to be, and what I believe you need, and is the only way that I see you getting to where you need to be, is bariatric surgery. Yeah. Okay, what do you think about that before I elaborate? Because I need to elaborate, because it's something that people frown upon or have negative connotations or look the other way about. What do you think of that?
So currently, that's what I'm trying to get to. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Okay.
But the show that I'm on right now, the one on Moja Love, we are, in this season, we're going to do the Ozempic route. We're going to go the Ozempic route and try and lose weight that way.
Okay.
But then the eventual goal is to get bariatric surgery. And because I've realized that it's actually very hard to lose the weight through dieting, because I've tried that. It's not working right now. I don't know if what needs to happen for it to work, but right now it's not working. So I'm just hoping that Ozempic will help me much better, and then...
Is it going to be there, sponsored by the show?
Yes,
the medication?
I believe, yes, okay. It will be. Yes.
They, I think just to add a bit more on what you're saying, which is also something we've spoken about, maybe you should check that episode of ours, is that we need to start moving away from this one fix type of problem. Like we were saying, there's multiple reasons why you could be gaining weight, right? And hormone, like as I made an example, could be 80% of the problem. But there's still that 20% that, you know, walking 30 minutes a day, every day could, you know, continuing with your diet, like Dr. Nasim already said, that it's, I mean, it's a good diet. And adding a incretin, which is the Ozempic drugs and everything. So using holistically all of these modalities at the same time. Because remember, we're not sure where the issue is. We think it's mainly hormonal in its origin. But just, for example, running alone won't help you. You know, eating greens alone and some chicken won't help you. But what if you did all of that and you gymed and you got a dietitian, for example, and you used Ozempic and you did bariatric surgery? Yeah.
But you have to also. You can't just do bariatric surgery and expect everything else to go back to normal.
Yes, the diet still has to be
there. And just to explain a little bit, I'm sure our guests don't know what bariatric surgery is. I'm also not an expert in it. But what I understand is it's basically decreasing the capacity or the size of your stomach by what? By putting a balloon or some sort?
No, by actually
is it, they
cutting
cut it.
A part
okay.
of it.
So there is another one where they put a balloon.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So it's all about reducing the size, and so you get fuller quicker. Yeah. Does it have any effect on gastric emptying? Yeah.
No, so there's also potential dentures. Effect on absorption of certain vitamins or minerals, potentially.
Okay.
Mm. So especially B12, you might need supplements like injection or tablets of B12.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask on the show, are there doctors there?
Yes,
there are doctors who are watching you guys. Because I'm really concerned that there's other things going on with you, you know, mm-hmm. that need to be monitored and checked and so forth, you know. I just wanted to also ask, it's just something that we wanted to talk to, was the emotional or psychological effects that mm-hmm. this has had on your life, if you want to speak about that. And then we want
in
to know.
In simple terms, I guess walking around. Like, do then you ever find that people are inappropriate? You know, and how do you normally deal with that stuff?
I try and brush it off.
Mm.
Yeah, I try and brush it off as much as I can, but it gets to you. It gets to you. I've been mocked a lot for my weight, man.
Mm.
But at this point, I think I don't care anymore. Yeah, I've reached a point where you've said this, say something else.
Mm.
Come with something new, you know. Make another joke.
Yeah.
You know, yes. I even laugh sometimes. If it's funny enough, yeah. Then let's go. You know, so I've emotionally, I think I've healed from most of the trauma, but there definitely has been trauma.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. There's been a lot.
I'm just thinking about like school, you know, the bullying.
No, school is bad. Yeah,
school was hell. Bro.
Yeah.
Like,
you ever found yourself depressed?
No, I was for a very long time, for years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially after varsity, even in varsity actually, because there was a point when which I even stopped going to classes, and I would study in my room, study in my room and not go to classes because of everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I started drinking a lot in varsity and after varsity as well.
Yeah.
Not getting a job, you know, having to sit for it's been 10 years now, unemployed. Post. Yeah. Because of, you know, even this, like my weight. Because we go to an interview, do well, but just don't get the job because of, And also sometimes you get to an interview, they laugh at you.
Sure.
Like, you just get in, Jay, and they start laughing. Some even run out, you know.
Are you serious?
For real, you know. So I've been through all of that. So it's 10 years, but now things are changing. Things are getting better.
Yeah.
So I think I've healed from all of that. That's all that's happened.
Mm. Sure. Yes, you know, I've never actually looked at it that way, man. It's actually quite horrific. To think, you know, even job opportunities you miss out on because you know, people just don't take you seriously because of your weight. And
In 2015, obesity was registered as a disease. Why is it that 10 years later, we still have so much stigma against people who are overweight, who are obese? And why is it that we don't understand? We hopefully this platform and this podcast will reach a lot of people and they'll be able to understand and realize that it's not just about what you eat and you sitting on a couch, you know, couch potato. Mm-hmm. I think it's not just about that. Why do you guys think that we're still at this stage?
Why is it normalized? You know, why is it okay to, for example, I mean, so much is being spent on HIV and removing stigma of HIV why is obesity not treated like that, you know? Because, I mean, research has actually shown that there are people really suffering. It's a medical condition. Yeah, it's really not just this brat chose to buy chips all his life and just sit on the couch.
Sure.
Which is also a very big, what we're trying to, you know, to share and educate people about.
Yeah.
To say that, you know, not everyone is a sloth and, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that, you know, people do suffer. You know, I mean, you're suffering financially.
Do you think that if he even had medical aid, they would pay for his whole investigation and workup and, you know, multidisciplinary management of his obesity and his heart and his kidneys and his bones and the medications and surgeries? Do you think they would? I don't think so.
No. Well,
what do you think?
I don't think, firstly, they wouldn't have grounds. not to. But secondly, no they'd one need. They don't do your weight when you're applying for medical aid.
Like no, I'm saying if he had medical aid and he wanted to now lose weight and he had multiple doctors who were aggressively and involved and sympathetic and wanting to help him, I don't think with a lot of motivation to medical aids they would even want to. They would even pay.
I mean, some of them, don't they pay for like gym and stuff like this?
Pay for?
Gym.
They'll say, no, you must go swipe at Virgin Active, then you'll get points.
They do some things, but I think it's mainly a public health sort of thing to aim for. Like, I like how the government tried to reduce sugar.
Yes. Right?
So they had like a sugar tax or something like this. I mean, there's now more options of like Diet Coke. Mm. And Diet Coke is proven to be an efficient alternative. There's no calories.
It doesn't raise sugar at all, It doesn't raise sugar at all.
It's making those small changes.
But what I'm trying to raise awareness, probably what I'm not articulating properly, is that people like Elon himself, don't get the help that they need. They don't get the understanding that they need. Elon doesn't get the advice, the help, the intervention, the support. It doesn't get those things, right? Whether it's in our state, perhaps in private, there are people who understand what you're going through. I've been on webinars where there's doctors and professors talking seriously about weight loss and that we should be doing like everything from psychological to medication and all of that, right? But there's so few, I believe, that, you know.
I think the problem is ignorance. Like you find a lot of the times where there's guys even in med school, there's guys who have problems. Like they only find out during med school. There's a guy who I know, he has had phimosis, right? And he only finds out during med school. He's like, well, I didn't know this was a problem. He ends up getting circumcised later on. And it's just that the problem is ignorance. There's people who, like, you suffer your whole life until, and you wait, you say, like, my parents aren't doing anything about this. Let me wait until I'm old enough. And then when I now have money, I'm going to go do the things I need to do. Yeah, and also, I think like a public health approach is the best way. If his family or people around him knew better about weight loss when he was younger, this problem would have been sorted much more earlier. I think that's a better approach.
I don't know, guys. It's just sitting on my heart that I think I want to make an appeal, man. And even if not a lot of people watch this, I want to make an appeal to the medical world, doctors out there, specialists, endocrinologists, surgeons, physicians, medical aid companies, all the big ones, NGOs, whoever it is, all of you. Elon over here is suffering. He's suffering in his personal life. He's suffering mentally, psychologically. His family suffer with him. He suffers financially. He suffers emotionally. And he's taking a big toll on his life, on his physical life and his lifespan. This man is not going to live a long life if he continues that. And I'm sorry to be so blunt, Elon, because that's what I see with this.
Yeah.
And I'm just appealing out there that can we help Elon? You know, when we met you, I thought, you know, as the Gents Clinic, we can probably help him with what we do. But I've realized we won't be able to. We don't have the capacity. It's so multifactorial what you are going through. Mm-hmm. But guys, I just want us to, please, we can come together as a medical community, as big organizations, as big pharma, and help this man. Because very soon your heart is going to give out. Very soon your kidneys are going to give out.
Yeah.
Your organs are going to give out. Your bones, your joints, your knees won't be able to carry your weight very soon. And you'll be bedridden.
Yeah.
And I'm saying these things the way I'm saying them because I want people to understand out there. Okay, It makes me a bit emotional for other reasons because I can see. You know, I can see. So I'm going to stop there. Please, I want to make this appeal. I really, even if I know you're on the show, but I think we can do much more, more as a country for you.
So moving away from, I know we just became a bit sad there, but I mean, I think it's important that Dr. Matthews raised what he raised, just to also emphasize the seriousness of the problem, you know. But what I wanted to say is that, you know, especially in the doctor's fraternity, you know, when he was busy explaining, you'd be shocked at how many doctors in private would reject to help you. Even, I'm saying, now I'm talking about people you are going to pay, would reject helping you.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of them, there are grounds, you know, they are, like, for example, with weight comes a lot of problems.
Sure.
You know, firstly, for example, if let's say someone wants to, let's say you develop an appendicitis and I'm the surgeon, you know, it's going to be very difficult for me to go in there, uh-huh. right? Uh-huh. It's going to be very difficult for you to heal. It's going to be very difficult for me to give you medication. Simple things like putting up a drip and you understand. Yeah. So they're also obviously coming from that aspect sure. to say, you know, I could do the same thing with less time, yeah. less complications, yeah. you know, less everything and the same money.
Yeah.
And now I'm accepting this guy who obviously is going to come with so much more
complications.
Sort of complications and all the medical issues. But I think we still need to understand, especially the doctors, you know, why we're in what we're in or what we do. And we always have to do best for our people, for our patients, and treat everyone equally, you know. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, yes, explain to someone. I mean, you still need to understand, like I said, you still need to understand that everything anyone tries to do on you will come with all these added complications. Mm-hmm. But it's not grounds for me to reject and say no. But just to show you that even in the medical fraternity, where you think, you know, here I'm fine. These people understand illness. They understand disease. They'll help mm-hmm. me. Trust me, the people there are just as you know, mm-hmm. some as ignorant as your regular Joe on the street.
There's also a lot of stigma with Ozempic for a while. People were scared to,
I was actually scared about to even try it.
Yeah.
Because I heard that, you know, there are a lot of people that have died from it. So, yeah, for a long time I was scared. I just recently found the courage to actually want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here I am reading journals about how you're going to get blind. but I hope you got the crux of what I was trying to highlight. That it's not really the blindness, but it's the fact that there's also a huge group of people who are trying to say, you know, this drug should be sort of, you know, decanted, and they don't mm-hmm. want this drug mm-hmm. to be there.
But for whatever reasons a lot of that like, they're proving. There's like fear because the thing is, it's a new drug, so there's a lot of things we're not sure how to do. But also, maybe we can just explain quickly how Ozempic works and just like the basics of Ozempic. Yeah, Ozempic is like a GLP-1 like an agonist. So it basically, like when you after you eat a meal, your body naturally produces this GLP-1 and gives you like a. It has like three effects on the liver, the brain, and the gut. Mm-hmm. Right. So you have a sense of fullness. Like it tells your brain like I'm full.
Yeah.
Then it tells also your liver to produce and let go some sugar, right?
Mm.
Yeah, and it tells your gut to also start to move. Mm-hmm. So people get like these. There's some common side effects like gastroparesis, like the stomach would not move well, mm-hmm. right? And then there's other one people are worried about like pancreatitis.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, but usually like if you reduce your diet, right, and you start low dose and you go up, there shouldn't really be a lot of side effects.
Okay. The potential benefits, especially for you, mm-hmm. that if you don't use it, I'm not saying that's the only thing like we've been saying, but those things are described, they exist, those complications, mm-hmm. but the benefit far outweighs the potential.
And the main thing is that it's just like, you know that food noise that people complain about, like there's always like a need for food.
Mm.
That food noise goes away.
Yeah.
And how do you feel? Are you on it now, currently?
No, not now.
Okay.
No, that's the plan. Yeah.
Going to do the tests. Yeah.
Okay.
You must share a TikTok video when you're on it. No, not like taking it, but mm-hmm. like your experience with it.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Just moving on to something a bit more lighter now. Mm-hmm. Just your romantic life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How does it?
Yeah, I wanted to know sexually.
You know,
quietly.
Yeah,
we heard, you know, about
that. How is weight gain? Or
what did you hear about? Obesity?
No. When I was explaining, when I was talking about the paraphimosis.
Oh, okay. So, okay, no.
I'm going to share a story once you're done, but let me listen.
Because
to
there are fans on TikTok. I'm sure there's at least a few. With DM'd and say, there's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. I reject way more than I.
Serious?
Yeah.
Wow, man. That's great stuff.
There is someone, yeah. Okay. That I'm seeing currently, but it's still in the early stages. I don't want to get my hopes high.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
But you reject DMs on TikTok.
I have a specific type of person that I'd like to date.
Okay.
So I don't just date anyone.
And just to and via.
Sometimes, of course.
You haven't found that your weight inhibits you in any way?
It does. It does.
Oh, but
does,
I'm sure definitely. They know also what they're getting themselves into.
Oh, they have to.
They enjoy.
So they just,
try to accommodate. It's time for everyone. We shouldn't think that, no.
Sure.
And that's important. Like we say, like we learned in medical school, that people who are disabled, disabled people, we always think they're not sexually active.
Mm.
Now, I'm sure people will look at you and think, he's not having sex, can't he? Hey, yavutwa.
Kupi.
Kupi. I don't know how true this is. This is what I have to share, right?
Yeah.
So, last night, or the other day when I was working, I asked the sisters about, if any of them were dating someone who's a bit obese. And, what did they think about the shaft size, with obesity and stuff?
Yeah.
So they all started laughing, like an inside joke thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, why are you guys laughing? I'm just asking a joke, I just want to know. I've seen a lot of guys in the gym, especially big guys, obese guys, who walk butt naked. I can't see penis.
Yeah.
So I was telling them, do you guys see this at home with your, So they said to me, you know how we deal with that? Once the father lies down, you just pour water there, wherever it bubbles, D's there. Yeah. And you just sit there.
Bubbling. That's bad. But I don't think Elon has those issues.
So. I was like, is that why you guys are laughing? They say, Chief, Sandra has a like Sandra's husband is big.
Big guys make sure.
We make sure.
Yeah. And remember, he's from Limpopo, this man.
Hey!
You can't play.
You might find that his body weight is 150. That's 150.
But we have to wrap up, guys. It's been really good having you on, Elon.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try our best to... Oh, we've got a video to play, eh?
Mm.
Oh, yes. The video is on... you remember in our last podcast, we spoke about the lady who was denied her Uber ride.
She tried, yes, in the US.
Yes. Have you heard of her, Elon? Did you see that video?
I've
She wanted to get into the Uber, and the Uber driver said,
Have you heard something like that before?
Yeah.
Like a taxi or something?
No, only from my cousin.
Aibo.
Yeah.
Family.
Yeah.
From your cousin rejecting you getting in their car.
Yeah.
He's not a colored guy, your cousin.
No. He's like, no. When are you going to mess up my shocks? So I was like, okay.
Yeah. So I believe she went on the breakfast show. You guys know the breakfast show? I don't know those guys' names, but they always pop up on my Instagram. Show, So let's see that video. What's she up to now?
Hi, how are you? Stormy?
How are you? Hey, Ken. How are you, brother? You good? Nice to meet you, Ken.
Got it. Yep. It's the only seat y'all got?
What you want? What you need?
A bigger chair or something.
Because she already little.
That's what I'm talking about. Good. This is accommodation.
There you go.
Oh. Good to you, Elon.
No. This one is a proper.
Well, fine.
The thing is... that happens a lot, by the way.
Mm.
You know, we go to spaces and then you find that you can't actually sit, because of your weight. If you sit, you're probably going to fall and hurt yourself. So I always, whenever I go somewhere, even here, actually, they made a call. I was like, hey, Chief, do you have proper seats that I can sit on?
Before.
Yeah, and even asked with regards to the lift, if you have lift and things like that. So those are important things for people that are overweight.
This lift, it can take 314,
Which one?
Our lift,
Can it take?
Must be sure. Because
it can take 8 people in it, man.
Yeah, I think it's 6 something.
No, I was just saying, we don't want you to get stuck now. It's after hours, the lift is not going. Bad now.
That would be a mess.
Let's wrap up, guys. Let's wrap up. I know you said you have to be somewhere soon as well. It's been good having you here. Yet another good episode on Let's Talk Man. And guys, let me know, how was my debut as hosting?
Yeah.
So
Suhail fired.
No, you did well. Suhail can go sleep now.
Yeah. Suhail, we're firing you now. I'm taking your position. Yes, but that's another episode, guys. Don't forget to share this episode, share all our reels, follow us on Instagram, Let's Talk Man, follow The Real Network, like, subscribe to our YouTube channel. For more episodes from Let's Talk Man by the Gents Clinic, I'm Dr. Matthews, and I'm signing out.
Dr. Nhlanhla Vilakazi signing out.
Dr. Naseem Sharif.
Po, 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 po.
Dr. Po.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys. That was a good one.
Entertainment. Come on.
You're playing, yeah. Manjada
Musari, Manjada Musari, Manjada Musari. Galo bangalau toga mushuma. Manjada Musari, Manjada Musari, Manjada Musari. Galo bangalau, Majeri Musari, gavagalo toga mushuma. Majeri Musari, gavagalo toga mushuma. Evana ria baba, oh ria baba, evana ria baba, oh ria baba, bajeri musari, gabagala toka mushumo, bajeri musari, gabagala toka mushumo, evana ria baba, oh ria baba, evana ria baba, oh ria baba, bajeri musari, gabagala toka mushumo. Bajeri musari, gavagala toka mushumo. Hebana ria baba, oh ria baba. Hebana ria baba, oh ria baba. Bajeri musari, gavagala toka mushumo. Bajeri musari, gavagala toka mushumo. Hebana ria baba, oh ria baba. Hebana ria baba, oh ria baba. Manjede. Manjada, manjada, ngao bagala toga mushumo. Manjada musari, manjada musari, ngao bagala. Bilu nei Bombay, Bombari da nunu fella. Eu saliona, wana masiti malava. Evani ano bali, oh dia baba, ankoni lutea. Oh dia baba, bilu nei bomba. Ibombari ya nunu fela, eusaliona, wana masuchi malava. Oh, wana baby, oh, gubu dete, oh, muajaga, oh, gubu dete. Community way, litrakala la nivulina. Musaru uchabile, maranna gudodua. Mawe ria baba, oh, ria baba, mawe ria baba, oh, ria baba. Oh, that's it. That's it, guys. Thank you so much.
There's talent. Yeah, baba.
Sure. Oh, man. Thank you so much, guys. Hey, it's a nice-